Frontier League All-Star Game, the Deputy Commish of the Frontier League, Steve Tassler. Steve, how are you?
That's going good, Bill. Good to see you and Matt again.
Well, let's talk about that All-Star Game in Joliet. I know you're in Joliet right now, and you and I were talking off-air about some of the festivities planned for this year's event. What can you share for us? What kinds of special events are planned?
Well, the unique thing about Joliet compared to our other ballparks is it's located right in downtown Joliet. So it gives you a different perspective on things and a different atmosphere. One of the grid concepts they're trying this year, they're going to be doing a parade through downtown Joliet starting at about 6:30 tonight, kind of like the opening day parade you see in places like Cincinnati or St. Louis, where the all-star players will be in convertibles and in back of pickup trucks going down throughout the middle of the town with the mascots tossing out candy and just little treats to the kids and people that are lining the parade route. So that's a good way to integrate the community and integrate a downtown location into the overall event. We're really excited about that concept. We pick up tomorrow with a golf outing, and those that don't golf are going to go on a boat tour, a Chicago architectural tour on the Chicago River downtown. We've got the Home Run Derby tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock Central Time, followed up with the Hall of Fame luncheon and induction ceremonies at noon on Wednesday, then the game itself Wednesday evening.
And one of the cool things about this year, this is obviously a very special one because the league celebrated its 25th anniversary back on June 30th, but that was also selected as the moment of the year because for every year now in the Frontier League, when you do the induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame, you also pick out a moment. This is pretty awesome. I mean, 25 years now, this league has been around, and I know you've been a part of a lot of this league's history for sure. What do you remember most when you go back to June 30th, 1992, celebrating the 25th anniversary of this league, the things that you've heard about it, the things that you have experienced personally, what's the one thing you remember most about June 30th, 1992?
Basically, it was just, is this really going to work? It was a new concept. Independent baseball has been off and on throughout the entire 20th century. The last formal league ended about the late 70s down in Texas. So you had about a 15-year gap when the Frontier League and the former Northern League started up for the 1993 season. And that was the big question. Is it going to work? Can this model work from a baseball standpoint, from a community standpoint, from a business standpoint? And even though we're not, you know, we've grown out of that Southern Ohio, Western Kentucky, West Virginia region that we started into, seven states going from Pittsburgh to St. Louis and from Kentucky up to Michigan, we're still going after 25 years, so that's the big thing. The league's grown, and it's adapted. It's gone into larger markets. It's gone into metropolitan markets, much like the Crushers have. But 25 years later, we're still going strong, and we still get messages from people that were in the league, playing in the league the first and second year, keeping up with us, wanting to know what's going on. We're going to have Tom Crowley, who was the pitcher of the year for the first season of the Frontier League. He's going to be up here speaking on behalf of what it was like to be a debut player in a debut league and being able to play professional baseball and giving a group of guys that had not had that opportunity the chance to do so and to see how it's grown. Well, we've got over 1,200 players that have gone on to affiliated baseball organizations, 32 guys in the major leagues out of the Frontier League.
Steve Tassler, Deputy Commissioner of the Frontier League, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And but that's really incredible, too, because the stories I've heard from going back 25 years, really cool to just see how this league has evolved so much during a quarter of a century, going from basically playing in ballparks that were utilized by college teams. It was basically the home field for colleges and in some degrees high schools, but now you've got these beautiful ballparks all across the 12-team circuit. And I'm sure that's got to be gratifying for you being a part of this thing since the get-go. If you're to pick out two to three moments in all of your years with the Frontier League that really stood out to you, what do you think those two or three moments would be?
To me, one of the top moments was the 2002 All-Star Game that was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. That was the night after the Major League game was in Milwaukee, and it ended in a tie after 13 innings. And you've got that famous picture of Bug Selig shrugging his shoulders because he didn't know what to do. Our game was the next night. We got together. We said, we can't have this happen. Let's have some fun. We decided if we have a tie in the All-Star game after 9 innings, we're just going to do a home run derby, see who wins it. Got a lot of publicity, got a lot of excitement about the concept. Sure enough, top of the 9th inning, a guy named Joe Kalzinski for the DuBois County Dragons, the team I was general manager of at that time. It's a two-run home run. Game gets tied. All of a sudden, we've got a home run derby to decide our game the night after the Major League Baseball All-Star game ended in a tie. Wound up getting picked up by ESPN, by Fox Sports Radio, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Sports Illustrated. It was the lead story on Yahoo.com the following day. Just tremendous publicity, and that was one of the things that skyrocketed us to a national level. You've got that. You've got the excitement when Brian Tolberg became the first player out of the Frontier League to make the major leagues. He got called up by the San Diego Padres and got off to such a great start. He was the National League Pitcher of the Month that year. You've got things. You've got Brendan Donnelly, former relief pitcher for the Ohio Valley Redcoats, one of the teams no longer in existence, gets called up by the Los Angeles Angels. Gets into three games during the 2002 World Series. Gets the first former Frontier League player to have a World Series ring, and the first former Frontier League player to be named a Major League Baseball All-Star. You know, just it's the events like that. Then you've got some of the off-field excitement. You know, when the Gateway Grizzlies introduced the donut burger, the Krispy Kreme burger, that just exploded, got all sorts of off-field publicity from marketing standpoints to public information to sociology studies about, you know, different ways to get the message out. It's the things like that are the most exciting to see. How not just on the baseball side, but on the overall marketing business side, that we're getting national notification, national publicity for some of the things we're doing, which in turn draws attention back to the 12 communities we're in.
Oh, without question. And I certainly think that instances like that, really one of the reasons why the league has been able to endure through 25 years and still thrived. And speaking of those 25 years, you know, I mean, being a part of it since day one, in your mind, how do you think the league has changed the most over the last 25 years? Because certainly players come and go. You know, you talk about how a lot of times markets will come and go. You move into bigger and better ballparks. But how do you think this league has changed the most?
I think it's the facilities. You know, when, like you said, when the league started in 1993, you were using old WP-era ballparks from the 30s and 40s. You were using community fields. We're at the point right now where, with the exception of Bossy Field in Evansville being 102 years old and the third oldest ballpark in the country, with that one massive outlier, every other ballpark that we're in has been built for the Frontier League. And aside from, you know, 1915 in Evansville, 1999 is our second oldest facility. That's Carshield Field down in O'Fallon, Missouri, that is in the process of undergoing a massive upgrade as well, with a new turf surface, new awnings and things like that to keep it modern. But that's the biggest thing we're proud of right now, is we're in 11 different facilities that were built for us. The communities were interested in working with us, saw the value of the product, saw this as a long-term economic driver, much like what you see in Avon, Ohio at Springer Stadium. That's been the most, you know, that's probably been the biggest change. The most exciting is going from those small towns and those small fields into major metropolitan areas, working with politicians, working with community leaders, and getting facilities built with us as the primary tenant.
Deputy Commissioner of the Frontier League, Steve Tassler, our guest on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You mentioned the Hall of Fame ceremony, one of the parts of the All-Star Week festivities for you guys. Who all is going into this year's Hall of Fame, and how does that process work? I would assume you guys have a committee, and you meet a few times a year to decide who should go in, who shouldn't go in. Who's going in this year? And just kind of give us an idea as to how that process works.
Yeah, it's a three-stage process. We do have a committee composed of field managers, general managers, and Bill Lee and myself, people who have been around the league for multiple years that have seen it change since the late 90s up to today. We take an initial list. We narrow it down to about 15 semifinalists, then we discuss the semifinalists to come up with what's going to be the final class going in. And as you said, in addition to the ball players we have going in, we honor one off-field contributor, and we also honor one significant milestone in league history. Significant milestone being the 25th anniversary of the league is June 30th, back when we had our very first game 25 years ago. Just honoring the people that actually made it happen. You're actually taking a business plan and an idea on paper and seeing it in action for the first time. The special contributor is a man named Steve Sturgill, a former mayor of Portsmouth, Ohio. He was one of the founding fathers of the Frontier League. He was the league president for his first few seasons that the league existed. In terms of the All-Star players, we have a shortstop named Travis Garcia, played with the Ohio Valley Redcoats and also played with the Chillicothe Paints. We have a first baseman named Chase Burch, who is with the Traverse City Beach Bums. We have an outfielder named Gator McBride, who was with the Chillicothe Paints in the late 90s. And we have another outfielder first baseman named Pete Pierman, who was a member of the Windy City Thunderbolts, the Kalamazoo Kings, and the Evansville Otters in the mid-2000s.
Well, one question I have as far as the Hall of Fame goes, and people around this area will ask me every now and again, the one guy people always think of when they think about Lake Erie Crusher baseball is a guy who has been nicknamed Mr. Crusher, Andrew Davis. When does he become eligible?
I believe Andrew's eligible next season. Part of the eligibility requirements for the ball players are you have to have been out of the Frontier League for three complete seasons plus one additional full season completely retired from baseball. So in that case, Andrew's on the ballot for 2018. Like you said, based on the impact he made in his tenure in Lake Erie and how well he was respected in the community, there's a good chance when we're talking next summer at this time, Andrew Davis will be one of the names mentioned.
Good stuff. Wait, I saw Davis about 3 weeks ago. He and I played on the same team in that Sports Legends softball game, and he could still swing it. Now, of course, he's selling beer for a living. He's moved on from baseball, and he's working down in Chillicothe, but he would have been the MVP of that All-Star game if our team had come out on top, but he just missed out. I think he had five hits. He drove in about seven or eight runs, so I think he would be an excellent selection without question. Steve, I know you're slammed down in Joliet this week, so I really appreciate you giving us some of your time. Best of luck with the All-Star festivities, and we'll catch you later on this season.
Thanks a lot, Bull. Hopefully we're getting some good response out of this, and just wanted to say hi to my nephew, Jordy, listening online down in Atlanta. He follows your show when I'm on it, so. Good to see you've got some nationwide followers. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, good stuff, man. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it as always.